Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's great to be here. It's great to see all these happy, smiling faces. Seen some faces I haven't seen in a while. I want to say especially good morning to you. It was interesting as Francois was saying good morning to everybody earlier, and it was kind of like, you know. I thought about it. I was like, Francois, go easy on them. We're all a little bit tired today. Because you know what today is. First day of what? Daylight savings time, which is going to be the title of the sermon today, because I want to take a few minutes to look at time. How we view time. How we think of time. How time matters to us. I remember studying in this one particular class, and professor asked, he says, what's the most valuable commodity that we can have? And everybody, you know, because it was business class, everybody's talking about, you know, gold and all these other commodities and land, and you can't replace land. And he's throwing daggers and holes, punching holes in all these other theories. He said the most valuable commodity that you have is time. It's the one thing that you can't get back. Like, even if you live an extremely long life, you still can't get back that time. And I want to look at it from the standpoint of time, because oftentimes we look at time and we think, well, what could we have done with that hour? What could we have done with that extra hour? Now, most of us, if we're honest, matter of fact, I dare to say all of us, if we were honest, that extra hour would have been used for sleep, right? You weren't going to be like, well, you know, I got this extra hour. We never do that during daylight savings time in the fall, right? Ooh, I got this extra hour. I'm going to stay up. No, you don't. You say, I'm going to get an extra hour of sleep. And you're still going to be late to church. But it's okay. Happens, you know, it goes back. I used to love to sit and watch it sometimes when I'd be up late. Because it was like 2:59, 2 o'clock again. I was like, oh, yes, you know. But I want to think about time from the standpoint of how we use our time. And not only time, but consider, is time really the commodity that God wants us to consider? Is time really the thing that's that precious that God wants us to focus on? And so I'm going to jump right in. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And we read this, and we think, what is better? A lot of times we look at our choices, and we can get fooled and think we have a binary choice, like it's a good choice or a bad choice. He didn't say, you chose the wrong thing, and she chose the right thing. He says, she has chosen what is better, meaning she has chosen what is more valuable. She has chosen something that can't be taken away from her. And when we think about time, a lot of times we think, man, you know, I wasted a lot of time, but it's not the time, because let's face it, some of us, we don't know, I mean, none of us really know how much time we have. We don't know if we have another 40 years, another 40 minutes. We don't know if we have another 2 years. It's not the time that matters so much. We see throughout the scriptures all these different people that lived to these different ages, and they went through different things. You might say, well, they lived a long time, but they spent so much of their time maybe in prison. Or maybe they spent time where they were sick and they couldn't do. So what is it about the time? And what we see here in this example of what can't be taken away from her is she chose to make the best use of her time by looking at it not on the clock, but looking at it as a moment. She chose to spend that moment with Christ. Because let's face it, there's plenty of us who are going to have plenty of time to do a lot of things, but how many moments do we have left to do something that can't be taken away from us? What we see here is part of our understanding of spiritual growth is getting away from thinking of everything from the standpoint of time and thinking of it as, what am I doing with the moments that I have? I was sharing with, we have our family group on Tuesday. I was sharing with them this particular passage because I was thinking about my son. He had a birthday last week. He turned 9 years old. And I was thinking to myself, I've got 9 more years, assuming that he does go on to college and move out of the house or something like that. I've got 9 years that I can count on my son is going to be in my house under my care, where I'm not going to literally be watching him every day. And then something occurred to me as I was even having that thought. This was last Saturday. My son went down into the basement, the house back here. It's scary, okay, to them. It's scary to go into this basement. They never want to go by themselves, my daughter and my son. Well, my son goes down to the basement. He's downstairs by himself, and he didn't come back up. He was no longer afraid to be in the basement. He's branching out. He played his games. He played with this new hermit crab that we got. He does his Legos, and he didn't come back up. You see, I have 9 years that I can expect him to be in my home, but how many more moments do I have for him to sit on my lap? How many more moments do I have to be able to talk to him? Because see, at this point, I'm his father. I'm huge to him. So every word that falls out of my mouth, he hangs on it. So I got 9 more years, but how many more years do I actually have where the words that come out of my mouth, he's going to hang on? At some point, he's going to get a little bit older, and slowly but surely, he's going to branch his little wings out. You know, he's going to fly. He's going to get further and further away from me. He's going to meet some girl, I'm sure. And then everything is going to change, right? You know, I have a really good friend of mine who's been experiencing this where she's not divorced, but her and her ex-husband, they co-parent their daughter, and she is 15. And she's totally going through this phase of just, you know, changes and rebellion. And we think about it, it's like, well, yeah, I had this time. But slowly but surely, the opportunities get smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's the same thing with us. We sit here, we come here every Sunday, we worship, we sing our songs, we pray. But how many times do we figure, well, you know what? I'll talk to that brother or that sister next time. I'll talk to him next week, or I'll, you know, send him a text later. And later never comes. Later never happens. We just take for granted that we're going to have another opportunity. And what we see here is that when he says she chose what is better. See, Mary understood the moment that she was in. Do we understand the moment that we're in right now and the opportunities that we have that are in front of us? You know, there was a guy, I forget his name. He talked about this. He's a psychiatrist. He talked about how even if as time passes, we may forget the exact day that something happened or the exact minute or everything was going on, but we remember moments. We remember who was there at our graduation. We may not even remember exactly what city it was in or exactly, you know, where the wedding was, but we remember when our child was born. You know, this is familiar to some of us because we remember when we got pinned, you know, a lot of times we may not even remember the exact date, but we remember who it was who pinned us. You know, we remember our groomsmen and bridesmaids. We remember, I remember the song when Kendall was born. I remember the song that was playing, The Warrior. So fitting, you know, The Warrior, you know, and I remember what I was doing. I remember the type of weather it was when my son was born. We remember these moments. And yet, sometimes we forget that we don't always have more moments. What would we do different in our life if we thought, you know what, I've only got, and I shared this with my wife, we were talking about this. My wife's grandmother is 93 years old. And I was thinking to myself, if my wife, if her grandmother lives, we call her Gigi. If she lives to be 100, wow, that would be another 7 years. You think, wow, that's a great long life. And yet, I was thinking to myself, we live 650 miles away from her grandmother. We see her two, at best, three times a year. Even if she lived another 7 years, we extrapolate that out, that's 21 opportunities for my wife and my children to spend time with their grandmother, their great-grandmother. Well, what if she doesn't make it that long? You know, if we knew that I'm going to get a chance to kiss my wife or my husband, I'm going to get a chance to sit down at the table and share a meal with my best friend or my son or my daughter, and I've only got 10 more of these. I've only got 10 more opportunities, because that's what Mary and Martha were facing. Jesus is like, you're not going to have me forever. If I've only got 10 more chances at this, you kiss him, you say goodbye, we get on the road, we come back from Louisville, Kentucky, and then it's kind of sad, right? Because you're like, I only got 9 more chances to do this. Or maybe you try to squeeze in more opportunities. Well, you know, we got to go again. You know, we got to make sure, because I've only got a finite amount of opportunities. We have to look at our lives based on opportunities. Going to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What we see here is that the Samaritan understood the moment that he was in. He understood what this moment was. Whereas the priest and the Levite, they had something else to do. They had something else. They were busy. They didn't have time. Whereas the Samaritan had time for it. He had time to do something about that moment. The moments and how we respond to them is a reflection of our spiritual condition. Not just the ability to recognize it, but what we do in that moment. If we see, if we know of, if we're aware that somebody needs us, that it's important that something get done, but we decide, well, you know what? I don't have time for it. The question then is, what is so important? What is more important? What is so vital that you can't do the work of God? What is keeping? And when I say the work of God, I'm not even just talking about ministry. I'm not talking about, you know, doing the functions of ministry. I'm talking about the work of God, meaning What is more important than you having peace with your brother or your sister? Forgiving them or asking for forgiveness? What is more important than looking after the needs of your neighbor? What is more important? What is it that you don't have time for? What is it that's so pressing that you don't have time to be like Jesus? See, when we think about it from the standpoint of time, like we go to work, many of us are going to go to work tomorrow. We're going to clock in or do whatever we do at our jobs. And we'll see that person knowing that there's something there. We may not even know exactly what it is. It could be their financial condition. It could be the health of their family. It could be something else. But do we have time to say, you know what? I'm not too busy to be like Jesus in this situation. Because the question is, how many opportunities are you going to have? You know, we just figure, well, you know what? Hey, I got 7 more years to retirement. So I have time to get to this person that's in a cubicle a couple down from me. Or I have time to talk to my boss about Jesus and find out where their faith is. I'll talk to them. And we just assume that they're not going to have a heart attack or a stroke. We just assume that they're not going to get laid off. We just assume that something's not going to happen to one of their spouses or children, and then they're not going to be able to work. And then the opportunities you had to be like Jesus, like the Samaritan was, the opportunities that you had to be like Jesus in another person's life, it's not the time. It's those moments. Are we making the most of those opportunities? It's easy to look on the outside, but what about in our own families? What about with our children and spouses and parents and cousins and aunts and uncles and people who are close to us, best friends we've had for years? Are we making the most of every opportunity? Because even if we have more time, we may not have more opportunities with one another. This right here, I thought about Mark with this because I'm looking at this guy and he won. And I thought about this because, see, I didn't wrestle, but it was the best picture I could come up with because I was thinking to myself, I remember the last time I laced up my spikes and ran the 400, ran the 200. I remember the last relay I ran. I remember the last time I put on a football helmet. I remember the last time I went to a baseball tryout. I was 25 years old. I was well past my age of my prime. But the fact is, I remember the last time I did that. I remember the last opportunity I had to compete on that level. And you know what? That last time for each of those things, I didn't know it would be my last time. I was watching, you know, you see the tournament, the NCAA tournament is going on, the women's and men's basketball, March Madness is happening, all the conference championships. And there are so many seniors who know they're not going to go and play overseas or they're not going to play at the next level. They know that this is their last game. This is their last time to compete on this level. And you see them weeping, crying, because they know it's their last opportunity. But what about reading a book to your child? What about spending time with your friend? When is that last time? What are we doing about those opportunities? Do we know when it's going to be our last opportunity to be like Jesus to someone else? Do we know when it's going to be the last opportunity for us to speak up, to share what it is that God has been and has done to us? When is the last time you're going to be able to see your son or granddaughter play in a soccer game? You know, I talk about this a lot because Mondays are a stressful day for me because I got so much going on. And part of what happens on Monday that's so stressful is I got to take Kendall to ballet. Oh, my goodness. Until you've seen 14, 5 and 6 year olds in a ballet class, you don't know chaos. You don't know the stress. I mean, it's just nothing. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody's focused. It's like they'll focus for like 15 seconds. Then they're just off. And Kendall's just, you know, doing her little switch. And she's turning around. But the thing is, this is an opportunity for her that I don't want to miss. This is an opportunity. I'm not going to get it back. I come here and I preach on Sunday. I may not get this opportunity again. I may not be able to stand up here and share the gospel. One of the things I share with my wife is so special to me. And I'll just be a little bit open here. I was considering, and I can't remember which one it was. I can't remember if it was George or Curtis, but somebody came up to me and asked me, they said, "You haven't applied yet to take this position." And I talked to my wife about it, and we were weighing out the pros and the cons. And one of the things she said to me, she said, "You're almost 40 years old. How many more opportunities are you going to get? And maybe the reason why you haven't gotten those opportunities in the past is because God wanted you to take this one here. Maybe the reason why you're stuck at that job and you want to go somewhere else, but maybe the reason why you're in that place is because God wants you to take the opportunity to do what he's calling you to do where you are. You want to move to a different neighborhood, buy a different house. Maybe the reason why you're in that neighborhood is because God wants you to take the opportunity to do something there." Do we understand those opportunities and how precious they are? Do we know when the last time we're going to have that opportunity? Ephesians chapter 5, I'll close it here. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, make the most of every opportunity. You know, in the King James Version, it says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. You know, it's like my wife, she went to the store because they had a sale, and she redeemed her coupon. They didn't have what she needed, so she got a rain check. And she's going back to redeem that rain check once they have it in. It's the same thing. We have to redeem the time. We have to make the best use of our time. Is the best use of our time going to be found in accumulating things, accumulating accomplishments? What Jesus shows us and what we see throughout the scriptures is that redeeming our time is found with people. It's found with what we do and how we spend time with one another. That is the opportunity that Mary saw. Dishes, washing the dishes and serving people and doing things to make sure that you're a good host or hostess. Those things are valuable, but which is better? Which is better? How do we make the best use of our time? And oftentimes, we take for granted that we're going to get more opportunities instead of understanding that even though we may live longer, we may not always have more opportunities. We have to redeem the time. We have to make the most of every single situation we have. I'm always grateful when I spend time with people that, especially those who are older than me, because of how much wisdom they impart on me. I see Dennis and Linda every other Thursday. We can't do every Thursday. But every other Thursday. And sometimes it's like, "Hey, how you doing? Okay. you know, thanks, you clean up, whatever. And in other times, we have these long, drawn-out conversations. Sometimes there's a lot of, you know, back and forth. And it's important, I just want to say this, sometimes we can allow our differences to feel like, you know what, I don't know if I even really want to engage in this relationship. Kind of like, well, you know what, I don't know if I agree with Ms. Levada's opinion on this, or I don't know if I truly feel like her politics are in line with mine, so I'm just not going to. And we allow things keep us, we allow those things to distract us from redeeming that time. The time that we could spend with people, the time that we could have an impact on people, and as it talks about being light, we could be, when it talks about being the light of the world, this is a part of being the light of the world, but we have to take that opportunity to let it shine. Close with a few questions. Do I measure my life in time or in moments? How will my outlook on God be different if I could count down the moments I have left as opposed to counting down the time? If I could say, you know what, I'm only going to get a chance to see Tom and Jennifer three more times. Pick a name, pick a person. Doesn't have to be somebody in here. If I only got three or four more opportunities to spend time with that person, how would I then view it? How different would my attitude be? Do we measure our lives spiritually based on time or based on moments? Do I value people over things? And this is very important. Do I consider productivity based on accomplishments and goals or how I impact people? So much of being like Jesus is understanding that he could have had everything. He could have had and done whatever he wanted, but he did in every situation what was best for others. What was going to be the most valuable was for him to do as much as he could for others, not for himself, not so that he could be glorified and lifted up, because what mattered was that God would be pleased with him and God would lift him up. Do we value people over status? Do we value people over what it is that we can get? Because the priest and the Levite, they didn't value the person that they saw more than they valued what they felt like they had time for. What do I spend the most time on during the average day? If I replace part of my time to include people more, could I see God more clearly? And conversely, would others see God in me more clearly? Again, we're not talking about don't go to work, be irresponsible, don't spend time, you know, putting your kids to bed and replace that with something else. We're talking about what do you spend the most time doing that's not a requirement? What do I spend the most time doing? Who am I spending the most time with? Am I spending time? Am I redeeming the time with people? Or am I filling it up with other stuff that I want to do? Because you know you can do both, right? You can do what you want to do and bring somebody along with you. I do it every Saturday. My son, he knows what's in Lowe's just about as much as I know what's in Lowe's. Because I'm in Lowe's like every Saturday and he is right there with me. Do we spend enough time with people? And finally, where am I the most asleep at in my walk with God? Do I need to wake up and reassess my priorities? And this is a very hard thing to stomach sometimes when we see that we as individuals need to step back and reevaluate. What am I doing with my time? What's the most important thing to me? Where do I place my priorities? Because we can say, well, yeah, I'm spending time and I'm here on Wednesday, I'm here on Sunday, and I spend my time, you know, doing the work of the Lord. But we know where our heart is, right? What's the Bible say? You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you value the most? Do you need to reassess what you value the most? You know, I titled it Daylight Savings Time because sometimes I've been listening on the radio this morning as I was fixing breakfast, and people were complaining about daylight savings time. Like, you can't get the hour of sleep later, right? They're like mad about it. Like, we just need to get rid of daylight savings time. Like, daylight savings time didn't actually really change anything. But so often we focus so much on how it affects us instead of how it can affect others. Not even realizing that daylight saving time was set up as both to be an energy savings thing so that people would be awake more when the sun was out. And then also, too, you have to consider your agricultural nature that people have, where there was so much focus on farming. They thought, you know, before we had 24-hour banking and every gas station and grocery store was open 24 hours, things closed at a certain time. And so it was the most, how do we maximize the time? That was the purpose of daylight savings time. Are we maximizing these opportunities that we have? Because what difference does it make if you have 14 hours of daylight or 10 hours of daylight if you're not going to use it being like Jesus and having an impact on people and with people, allowing our relationships to grow? Do you need to take the opportunity to imitate Jesus? Do you need to take the opportunity to be taught what it means to be more like Jesus? Maybe you've waited this long, you thought, well, I don't have a relationship with God, but I'll get to it. Well, forget the time. How many more opportunities do you have in your life to make Jesus Lord if you haven't already? Is it an assumption? Well, I'll get around to it in a few years. I'll get around to it in a few months. I'll get around to it when I feel better. What is it going to take for you to see that the opportunity is before you walk out of these doors today? To ask for the prayers of the church, to come forward and say, help me, pray for me. Are you going to take that opportunity today? Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.